Obviously, this will be an application because we are not the nation of Israel. But I think there are a lot of things to learn from this book about the state of the church, from learning what the state of the righteous was in the day of Malachi. So, let's see what Fassel has to present to us tonight.
Thank you. Okay, wow. Good evening. It's always tough when you have to, you know, kick off. So let's see what is God has prepared from His not Pizza Hut, not Burger King, from His heavenly gourmet kitchen. So, English is still my last language, and I remember every time I stand up before anybody, I say, Lord, You are the God of Moses. Even he was thinking that he is not capable to speak. You gave him Aaron, but there's no any record that Aaron ever spoke for him, because You are mighty God. So I remember that story and I will say, You are the same God. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So let's approach the throne of God, asking His wisdom and His word, the oracle of the Lord to Israel, and the oracle of the Lord for us tonight from His own straight chicken kitchen. So let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for this evening. Thank You, Father, for allowing us all to gather together here in this sanctuary to learn from Your word. And Father, I know everyone has prepared and they have traveled. And thank You, Father, for those who are here and those who are still on their way. I'll bring them safely to us. And as we open Your word, Father, watch over my mouth and my mind and the words that being presented to each of a body of Christ here to be edified, to encourage, to prepare them for the battle that we are living and facing every day. So Holy Spirit, guide and lead and help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Book of Malachi. I was just studying the word Malachi, and actually it's funny how God just, you know, work. In Hebrew called Malachi, the same word they use in Urdu language, Malachi. So let's open up the book of Malachi. Malachi means messenger. Messenger who has been appointed by God. Another translation says, my angel, or angel of the Lord. And the same term used even in the New Testament for the apostles, the one who's been sent. So let's open up the Word of God and see what God has for us for tonight from the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. I was just looking over and I said, you know, it's good to study the book and then you know the essential message. So I was just putting some things together as I was studying. So if we look at the book of Malachi, just the outlines, and these are mine, and if you have something different, definitely it's fine with me. These are just non-copyright. If you want to use, go ahead, make my day. So the book of Malachi, the first chapter, or the first chapter when we look at the unconditional love of God to the nation of Israel. When we just study chapter 1 verse 1 and chapter 1 verse 2 and verse chapter 1, 2, 3 and 4 and 5. There's God speaking through Malachi, His messenger, and that term used only 3 times in the book of Malachi. One for himself as an author, the other time used for the coming, the John the Baptizer, and the third time is used for Jesus Christ. And three times that term is used, and mostly it's focused on, you know, I'm the God of past, and I will be God in the present, and the midst of you, and also the messenger who will prepare for the coming of the Messiah. So the oracle of the Lord says here like this. Verse 1 says, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. There's a lot in this one verse. The word oracle, when we look up the meanings, it means a burden. Someone is have given a burden. And we can be identified with one another. Sometimes our burdens are a self-undoes or self-misery that we bring upon ourselves. Sometimes our burden is given by our family members. Sometimes the burdens are given by the people that we rub shoulder trying to encourage. And they are burdened because we have a kind heart or the love of God that we get burdened by their burdens. So the oracle words mean a burden. It's a divine burden. It's not just a burden of, you know, paying a credit card. It's not a burden of, you know, you are worried about your mortgage. It's a burden that is a divine burden given to Malachi, the messenger of the Lord. And it's the word of God to Israel, the children of Israel. So before we go any further, I just want a little bit to talk about that the time we are living is critical. And I've been so blessed by this statement I learned in Anchorage. Me and Jean and Nan and Carrie, we were traveling back. And Jean, he was looking for a knife and just so happened the shop was closed. And he was looking through the door and there was another a man standing there just smiling at Jean. And Jean asked him, how are you? He said, I'm too blessed to be depressed. And I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And Jean added on to, he said, I'm too sanctified to be horrified. And then I add on to, and I said, okay. By faith alone in Christ alone, devil cannot hunt us down. And by God's power alone, we will lead many to eternal home. So when Jean heard that phrase, he said, I'm too blessed to be depressed and too anointed to be disappointed. Jean said, mostly likely you know the man. And he said, I know the man. So the conversation started happening and Jean said, what's your name? He said, my name is Chili Dog. That was his name. So that was just the side notes came up. So the book of Malachi or book of Malachi, the messenger of the Lord. Little bit historical background. Malachi was a ministering in the 5th century in the BC, in the 5th century of BC. About 100 years when Cyrus have already, you know, announced the decree that the Jews should come back and then they come back and build their temple and everything they just, you know, put to back. So that's going on and a Jew came back from Babylon to Judah to fix up their life and have a same way they can worship freely. So this is just going on, and the country is just, you know, terrifying. The walls have been broken, and the temples have been ruined, and a lot of things going on if we look at the book of Nehemiah. When we look at the book of Nehemiah, he as a, you know, the drink maker for the king, he just, you know, heard the story, what's going on in Jerusalem, what happened to the people, is anybody survived? So he heard and then he start weeping and praying and saying, the God of heaven, we have sinned against you, even our forefathers. So he start confessing. So that's going on in the background. And then Haggai and Zechariah, they are already have prophesied. They have already prophesied about the word of God, and then another guy comes up. Ezra. Ezra comes up and then he starts speaking the word of God. He starts telling them, you know, where you are wrong, what's going on in your life, why you are so miserable because you are used to be here, but now you are here. You were God, you got God back, and now you are without God's protection because you have chosen your own way. So just a brief historical back, the whole thing going on, the chaos and the misery and a lot of other things. So in a miserable time, two things happen. Either people become arrogant and depending on God and seek God's face for answers and hope and confidence. Or either in a miserable situation, people will be more arrogant, stubborn, and they will say, have nothing to do with God, have nothing to do with His message, forget about anything that He has said, and they will choose their own way to misery. Like Missouri is very close right here. Not a path of Missouri. It's a delightful sea and every kind of scenery is over there, but a path of misery is a miserable. So a lot of people use... A lot of people, you know, end up either find God or stand alone without God in misery without, you know, God, comfort and peace. So that's going on, and we can look up a lot of passages, but I want to just hit home run. I know you guys read your Bible. I know you guys have a wonderful Bible study applications, study Bibles. So you know a lot of history. So, Malachi, he is standing like in a terrible and hopeless and lifeless situation in Israel like a beacon of light. He's standing and he's shedding the light of God upon them and saying, the oracle of the Lord to you, Israel, the house of Jacob, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's delivering the oracle, the burden that he's been given by God. So he's speaking the truth and shining the truth upon them and saying, where you have been going wrong. And that is very obvious. Again, when we are convicted or conferred by someone saying you are wrong, two things happen. Either we humble ourselves or either, you know, we say, my way or highway or byway, and you go your own way. That's the attitude. And in that situation, someone says, a very good quote says, your attitude will determine your altitude. Simple. If our attitude is right, we will know our altitude, because the attitude is the eyes of, or the compass of the soul, mind, and spirit to tell us, to teach us all the things that is given us, we should be grateful. And the altitude is also the compass that gives us a perspective to see and discern that whatever we have because it's the grace of God. So our attitude determines our altitude. If your attitude is bad, guess what? Miserable life. And that's what was going on in the time of Malachi. People have come back. They are building up their self. They are building their businesses. Still probably a Persian governor overseeing them, and they have been treated, or they have been, you know, trained under wrong environment, watching them how they serve their gods or their king, and how they, you know, have been watching them. So they got the same attitude and they come back. Now even they are free, but they are not free. Sometimes it's like this. It's so easy for God to take people out of Babylon. It is so easy for Almighty God to take people out of Babylon, but it takes a long time to take Babylon out of people. It takes a long time. God took people after 40 years wandering, have seen everything under the sun, seen God Himself speaking, standing, preparing, parting the water, doing everything that any other generation haven't seen. And God took them out of Egypt. But it was taking so much long time, even in the time of Jesus. It was still the same God in flesh was teaching them that you do not, if believe in me, you are still in a bondage, in a sin. And they were saying, no, no, no. And that is the picture. It was easy for God to take them out of Egypt, but it was taking so long for taking Egypt out of God. So a lot of people have that mentality. We have the oracle of the Lord, the whole 66 books. So here's the angel of the Lord, the Malachi says, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. And this is the word. He said, God speaking, God is telling them all their things and choices they have made and worshiping Almighty, perfect, all-knowing God. And they are saying, maybe He don't see. So He says the message. God says, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how you have loved us. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declared the Lord, yet I loved you. Those two words are very powerful. I have. They're so powerful. So powerful if we start just looking up those and trying to, you know, dig the meanings. When God said, I have, He's a God of virtue. He never lies. God is telling them the truth that I have loved you, and guess what? They are saying, how you have loved us. How easily we forget the goodness and the mercy and the power of God. They are saying, how you have loved us. And He just gave them a big example. He said, from the same womb, same blood, two brothers, and I chose one to be over the other, to be in authority and blessed by me. A lot of people saying, God is a God of, you know, partiality. Have nothing to do here with the partiality. God is talking about their election, the blessing, and the potential God has for the house of Jacob. So He said, I love you. And the word I was looking, word love. If we look at the picture, and if you get time, or probably you have these sources, look up or buy a book called Ancient Hebrew a Lexicon Bible. And if you look at the word love is just so powerful. So powerful, and it's the meaning. It's the meaning, it's just beautiful. I just want to share a little bit with that. The picture of the word, the powerful word, the love, is a man standing with raising his hands. Is the picture represent one who's looking at the great sight and with his hands up. His hands up, raising and saying, hold. And also is the picture of the tent. So when you raising hand sign and the picture of the tent combined together is simply saying, in simply meanings, looks towards the house or provider for the family. So when God said, I have loved you, He's simply saying, look at the house, the provision of the house, the family, the man of the house that has provided you. Come, be with me, abide in me, stay with me. But they said, you know, how can you have loved us? So they are not dwelling in the same house. That's the word, picture, description of this word Hebrew, haba. Haba or something. Similar word to Habib. It's an Arabic word that is mean beloved or loved one. So God is saying, I have loved you. They're saying, how? And we can even look at their history saying, there's a no way that God haven't loved you. For 40 years in a wilderness, that is a proof of God. After that, God is just, you know, giving victory over victory in the promised land over the Gentiles and everything that you are doing. That's a picture of God's love. So this book is just a wonderful book. Wonderful book. Author is just, you know, God messengers, the messenger of Jehovah. And he is just living in a critical time. It's a beautiful. The Old Testament is closed with the, you know, if I will come and you do not believe, I will curse you. And the New Testament close, come Lord Jesus home and bless. It's just a beautiful ending with a curse and starting a new starting with a blessing. So author is speaking and he's closing in and saying, God have a message for you. God have a message for you. And probably Randy's been criticized, Pastor Bob, Pastor Doug, myself, many others. When you speak the word of God and people don't see happening in their life, they will say, where's your God? Because after this prophecy, it was a 400 years of silent. There was a no oracle of the Lord spoken to anyone. It was completely silent. Completely silent, and probably people were lifting their finger at Malachi saying, you were speaking to us. The messenger is coming. He's going to prepare the way. He's going to bless and this and that. And now there's nothing. So we are going to be criticized when we speak. As Jesus said, when you know the truth, truth will set you free. You can put it this way. When you know the truth, truth will hurt. Truth will hurt. So, Malachi, it's just interesting. There's so much, and I hope there will be something for all of us to use. All of us use. So, I was just reading, you know, relining, like is the term, you know. Hey, my car is acting weird. Go to the mechanic and he will check your inlining, your tires. If your tire is not correct and right, guess what? You will end up in a ditch or maybe under 22 wheelers. So you need to go and see mechanic. And it's a wonderful, powerful theme. It's chosen by the church. We need to realigning our lives with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Without the plumb, this building will be crooked. It will be just, you know, terrible. There will be no balance. There will no be, nothing will be straight. So as we need the plumb for the straight wall, for our life to be driven by God, we need to align up with God and change our attitude. So I was just looking up words meaning to change or put back to a new form or place or change one position or attitude. Attitude, and that is Malachi is pounding the people of his time saying, change the view you have about God. First they are debating. The first thing they are debating about, they are debating the love of God. When we read verse 2, they are debating. They are debating saying, God saying, I have loved you, and they're saying, how? The debate going on. It's like a perfect picture. Have a great relationship, husband and wife living in the same house, but they are divorced. They are just all. There's a no relation. The relationship is just complain upon claim. Complain. Yes, I'm separated because you burned my stainless plane. I'm tired of you because you've been, you know, drying my clothes and they are shrink. And she's saying, no, honey, you have gained a lot of weight. So it's like a wonderful picture going out here in the first five verses. He's delivering the message, God saying, I have loved you, and they're saying, how? It's like a broken marriage and going through the argument. They knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Once they have a relationship, but now it's like a life like a wife and husband going through divorce. Malachi is like an attorney. He's standing there, he's saying, okay, I'm hearing your side. What's the mumbo jumbo going on? I have loved you. I'm faithful. Actually, if we look up the whole book, in each book we study, you will find the essence of God. And that's the first one. I have loved you. God is love. Unconditional love, He never changed. Never change any ounce of His love for His people. So, here's the love, the God of love, just saying, I have loved you. And the second part, we see God is demonstrating His love. First, God's word is declared, verse 1 and 2. The second part, God's love is debated among His people. And the third part, the love of God demonstrated to His faithless people. Verses 3 and 5 when we read. But I have hate Esau, and I have made his mountains desolation. And appointed his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. I was looking at the jackals and I said, I haven't seen any in America, but I remember I have seen one in Pakistan. They are mean. They come in your backyard and they will find any living thing and they will take and destroy. So God said, I have given you everything. And this is the proof of God demonstrating His love for the house of Jacob. And first 3 to 5 verses, that is the love of God is debated or demonstrated to the faithless people. And God is never give up on us. God never give up on them because His promises are everlasting. And that's another essence of God you can see. In this verse 4, the B part when you see Lord talking about, dignant. He says, and the people towards whom the Lord is indignant forever. The word I was looking forever, it is the meaning. Endless, forever and ever. And also it's a word is an known in the Hebrew language for ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. That's a one of them, God's name or title. He is ancient. He's everlasting. He's from the beginning. He's the New Testament Alpha and Omega. So here's another essence of God found in verse 4, very last part, forever. I will do with this to forever because I am forever. So that's another part. So second part I was studying. When we look at verse chapter 1, chapter 1st chapter 6, 7, 8, 9 to 14, 2 to 1 and 9. We see a good picture or a big picture. Forgotten responsibility of the priest. First God's love declared, and then is doubted, and then is demonstrated. They are saying no. And now God's saying through Malachi, okay, I've been speaking to them, they are not humbling themselves. Now I want to talk to the head, the leaders. So God's speaking to the leaders, and when we look at first verse 6, he's saying to them, God is speaking, saying, son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, the word Abba, if I am the father, I am the ancestor, I am your Abba, where's my respect? And then he says, if I am master, Adonai, where is my respect? They know very well this term when God is speaking, saying, I'm a master. In Hebrew term, he's saying, I'm Adonai, the one even you don't try to write his name. I'm Adonai. So he said, where's my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, you despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? Same attitude. They are saying, how have you loved us? And here, how we have despised your name? Every way. Every way. And God is saying, I'm glad you asked question, because I got the answer. Here you go. He said, here you go. You presenting defiled food upon my altar. That's the one thing. How you have, you know, despised my name, because you defile food on my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? What the heck? Have they forgotten? Have they become so numb they even don't realize what they are saying? They become so stubborn. And God answer again, in that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. Here is another essence of God, the righteous God. The righteousness of God demand absolutely perfect and right. But they are presenting to a righteous God everything that even the beast of the earth don't want to eat it. They are giving a blind, they are giving a sick animals when we read verse 8. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, it is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? God saying, if you go to the Persian and saying, I have something spoiled for you, guess what? He will kick your butt and put you in jail. And that is just a governor. And I am the God of righteousness, God of universe, and you giving me everything that is not even required to any human. And then saying, how we have defiled. And that is a wonderful picture of U.S. A lot of people are saying, where we are, why we are, is because, you know, there's no God. They have so many argumentative questions. When everything goes on your way, in their way, they will say, you know, God bless USA, USA. And when they spill coffee on someone or somebody on something, they will curse God. Sometimes even they don't know God and they will just, you know, blame God. So here, they are not honoring God as the Father. They are not honoring God as their Master or Adonai or the one who is in authority. And that is a beautiful essence of God, the righteousness of God. Demand absolute righteous. And they are giving everything that is not good that God will admire. So they are, the priests are despising and disgracing the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, if you look up that word, Lord of hosts, it's used over 29 times. Over 29 times, and I was wondering why. Here's God trying to, you know, communicate to people and telling them I love you, telling them that I am a forever, and telling them I am a righteous God. And now He's communicating only with a name that was a fearful to all other nations. All other nations. The Lord, the Sabbathai, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of army. He's speaking through that name, but they are not getting the message. God speaking to them and He's saying, I am the Lord who just use every Gentile, every ungodly person to build this place where you are putting a defiled food. I was just looking the Azarkasi. It was just unbelievable when we study the book of Ezra and a book of especially Nehemiah, when he was giving authority and letters, the gold and the silver and all kind of, you know, grain and everything and protection. It was just so much. And that was another proof of God. Hey, you were living as a slave and now I brought you back, but you still don't understand what I'm saying. The Lord of hosts. Powerful name. But they are not getting it. They are not getting it. The reason? Attitude will determine the altitude. That's why they are on their face. That's why they are just, you know, picking like a chicken. Picking like a chicken. And if you have chicken in your backyard, they will eat every nasty thing. They will eat. I don't want to give you a picture, but if you say, they will fight over that. That's what chicken does. So they are like chickens, their face in the dirt. They have forsaken the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, and they are living like chickens. Instead, the attitude will determine their altitude. They can be like the eagles. Eagle don't hunt for, you know, scubala. Simple. He hunt for, you know, for the good thing that will give him energy. And Bible over 100 times I think have spoken to believers in the Old Testament saying, eagle, your strength will be like an eagle. Fly like an eagle. You are eagle. But these people not getting it. They said, we are chickens. In a simple way, they are just making that picture in their life. So God saying, if you offer that to your governor, would he be pleased with you? They asking God question, God asking them question. That's a pretty good divorce marriage. Lawyer saying, okay, what's going on? Yeah, the food was bad, salt was too much. She, you know, shilling my suit or this and that, and it's just going on and on and on. And finally, two things happen. Either divorce, get away from me, I don't want to be around you, or reconciliation. Reconciliation. So God is trying to do reconciliation, trying to tell them I'm a righteous God, and by just my name, offer that is a right. Even if you give that to the human, they will not accept it. Verse 9 he says, But now will you not entreat it, God favors that he may be gracious to us with such an offering on your part. He will recover any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. He's questioning. They are not getting it. And we need to look that into our life and people around us. A lot of people are despising and disgracing the Lord of hosts. And then they are defiling, like these priests was doing. The priests were presenting defiled food upon the altar of the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 1, 7 to 8. They were doing that, defiled food. And after that, they were not only defiled. God said to the priest, sacrifice, curse, I will curse your sacrifice. I will curse your sacrifice. If you look at verse 9 to 14, 9 to 14, he's speaking to them saying, I will curse your sacrifice. And he said, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. That was just like, you know, a broken heart cry, or just a final saying, if you're not getting it, If you are just going to abuse, why not somebody come and shut down the doors of that altar so there will be no more these defiled things that you are sacrificing. Sometime we need to look up to our lives. Are we doing something that God is not pleased and He's saying, shut it down or cut it off. Whatever the term you want from south or west or north. Cut the light, shut the light, turn off the light, or whatever the term you want to use. Sometime God is saying, just cut it off. Just listen. So He's speaking to them and they are not listening. So He said, I will curse your sacrifice. And then they're not listening again. So chapter 2, verse 1 to 9, priests are going to be disciplined. He said, I will discipline. The Lord of hosts says, I will discipline you. And that's why the other, before we go further, in verse 14, when God is speaking to them, He said, but cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vow it. Woo. I have V and W sometime bad. And he said, but sacrifice a blemish animal to the Lord, for I am a great king. Now is God speaking, saying, I'm a sovereign. You get the point? He said, I'm a sovereign. I'm a great king. You're not giving me anything worth that you will serve a king. He said, but you giving me all those bad things, the cursed thing that is not good. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. God's name was feared among many of the nations. You remember the story when the spy came and they went to the Jericho? They were inside the city and there was a lady and she said, I have heard about your Lord. And she hired Joshua and Caleb and some other people. People knew the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob back there, and people still know. More people fear those who even don't know God than those who even His own. So a lot of people abuse the sovereignty and the power of God and saying, heck with you. He said, I'm great king. So priests have forgotten their responsibility. I hope we have not forgotten our responsibility, because according to Bible, we are spiritually priests. There's so many passages like Ephesians 2, 17 and 18 talk about, you know, through Him who is in to Jesus Christ, we approach His or have access to His throne. That is a picture of a priest. Hebrews chapter 4, 12, you know, let's approach the throne of God boldly. That is a term of a priest. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, you know, dear brothers, he said, I urge you by the mercies of God, present your bodies. That's a picture of a priest. So pictures of priests. Back there, priests have forgotten their responsibility. I hope we have not. But a lot of people in America have forgotten who they are. Who they are. And that's why someone says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And that's a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. So, they have forgotten their disgrace, defiled, curse, and being disciplined. And there was another beautiful thing I read. He says, people go from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to apathy to dependence, and dependence to back in bondage again. We have that here. We were blessed when we got the freedom. We were blessed when we got the liberty. We were blessed when we were so abundantly blessed by Almighty God. We were blessed, then from abundance we become, we were at the smokehouse. Not the smokehouse like, not that one. The barbecue smokehouse. We saw a big chubby pig outside. The complacency to, you know, abundance. A lot of people have that in their soul. Maybe they are physically fit, but spiritually they have a pig mentality. Always want to stay in a pan where they just... That's why we need to think about, are we thermometer or thermostat? What kind of leader we are facing? What kind of believer we are? Thermometer or thermostat? Thermometer just simply tells what is the environment, and then, you know, let somebody know, hey, the heat going up, or it's cooler. That's all the thermometer do. But thermostat, it's not only tell the temperature, but control the temperature. And that kind of leader, Malachi, was in the time he's standing and speaking the oracle of the Lord. He said, I'm not just the temperature telling you the heat's going up. The God of justice is going to, you know, pound on you. He's saying, I'm a thermostat. I'm standing with the heat and the power and the word of God that is not only changing me, but I want to change you all. And we are heading into these times in the United States. I'm leaving on election day. I don't know what will happen back here. For a mission impact, it's not just leaving just, you know, because I'm chicken. I'm leaving because that's what God had prepared to go to Pakistan. But we need to become a thermostat. One of them back there, I can see, on the wall, tells it's hot. And then kick in, and the air conditioning work, and everything is in control. So Malachi, the Malachi, is telling them, hey, you have forgotten the love of God. You have forgotten that He's eternal. You have forgotten He's a righteous God. And He's telling them, you even forgotten He's a sovereign. And if you look at more in chapter 2, He's talking to them. So He's saying, you know, that you have forgotten that I am omnipotent. I'm all powerful, and I have shown you, but you're not getting it. Only one way. Attitude. Humble attitude. Humble attitude will change the whole environment. So let's close in this time, and we will move forward. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much, and I pray that you take my sense of humor or broken English, whatever. I know you are God who's omnipotent, who's more powerful than anybody or anything or any evil power exists in the universe. And we believe in your power. May your spirit convey the message, drill the message like a nail into each soul, that we can be not thermometer but thermostat to change the environment around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.